Welcome to the Sunday Monday Show, a podcast about being bold in faith, work, and life. I'm your host, Jane Kennedy. Let's get down to business. Hey everyone, good morning, or I guess whatever time you're listening to this. Happy Easter. Jane here. Welcome back to the Sunday Monday Show. This is our 99th episode, which is insane. So I'm glad you're here. Thanks for sticking around. Happy Easter, everyone. What a time it is to be alive. I hope that you had a wonderful Holy Week and a beautiful end to your Lent and are celebrating and feasting and enjoying the great gift that is the Easter season. I know I am. Some friends and I did Fiat 90, so it has been feeling Lenty since like January 1st for me. And it's always just like such a great season of growing in prayer and fasting and almsgiving. And now I'm in that little transition time of figuring out, okay, like which of these things do I feel called to continue? What do I feel called to release? And so it's been really good. I've got no complaints. And I hope that your Easter and Easter season is off to a good start as well. So today I want to talk about something I haven't talked about in 99 episodes, or at least I haven't dedicated a full episode to it yet, which is kind of crazy. And that is the saints, specifically friendship with the saints, what we think of the saints, etc. And the reason that this came up was because a couple of weeks ago I did a newsletter and a podcast on St. Joseph, I think on March 19th for his feast day. And I was talking with a friend after that, and she was like, you know, I feel like I just struggle with the saints. Like, I don't really know where to go. I haven't really connected. Like, I don't really know, you know, how do you build up a relationship with the saints? And it was such a great conversation that we had because it reminded me of my own journey with the saints and kind of the path that getting to know the saints has taken in my own life. And so what I want to do today is talk a little bit about kind of what we think of the saints, like who are the saints, what does the Catholic Church teach about the saints? And then I also want to talk about three saints in particular who I have a devotion to and kind of how those devotions came about, because I think that the best way to kind of learn or to the best way to illustrate kind of like growing in friendship with the saints for me has always been hearing the stories of my friends and how they found different saints and how they've grown in relationships with the saints as well. So where I want to start here is like, who are the saints? Why do Catholics have the saints? What is the point? And I think there are two big kind of reasons that Catholics have the saints. And the first is that the saints serve as a witness for us. So the saints all lived on earth. They were people like us. They had their own virtues. They had their own vices. They had their struggles, their anxieties. They lived in all sorts of vocations. Some were married. Some were in religious life. Some were single. And they lived all at different times in the world's history, which means that they all faced their own persecutions or struggles or issues with culture. And so ultimately, like, the saints are humans. They're humans like you and like me. And so when we get to know the saints, what we have is a witness of what it's like to pursue God completely and totally in the world, no matter your circumstances, no matter the obstacles. Like, what does it look like to pursue God and to love God? And one of the reasons I love the saints so much is because I think there is a false perception, like a false belief, that becoming more Catholic or becoming holier or growing closer to God makes you boring. Like, it strips you of your personality. It strips you of what makes you special. Like, you just become boring. And what we have, if we look at the great cloud of witnesses and the litany of saints, is that they are all so unique, and all of them pursued God and his call in their life in such a personal, beautiful, and like profoundly unique way. It's the quote I bring up pretty much every episode from C.S. Lewis, where he says, how monotonously like all the great tyrants of the world and how gloriously different are the saints. And this is true. There are some saints who were very flashy in their lives. Like, it was very, people knew that they were holy, right? Like, you think of someone like Padre Pio, like, people were traveling from all over the world to come and to, go to confession with him because he was so well known for being such a holy confessor. You have people like Joan of Arc, who we'll talk about later, who, you know, led armies into battle and is known throughout France and throughout the world. But then you also have saints whose holiness and whose pursuit of God was much more quiet and much more internal and really wasn't known until after their death, when eyewitnesses or their writings came out and people started to realize, oh wow, this person had a very uniquely beautiful relationship with God. And that's what I love. I love that about the saints, because I think there can be a temptation for us to think like to be holy, to be really Catholic is to like look a certain way and to do things a certain way and to pray in a certain way. And that's just not the case. And we have that through the witness of the saints. And we also believe as Catholics, we are called to be saints. So we are called to pursue the Lord. And it's always a good reminder to me whenever I feel kind of like I get caught up in like, well, this person did this way and I want that. So I'm going to do it the same way. I'm going to follow this path or, you know, do these things, whatever, so that I can have what they got. Like, no, if you look at the saints, they were called on a unique, beautiful personal journey by the Lord to do God's will for the time that they were in the circumstances they were in, and in the places they were in. And so that's the first reason we can look to the saints. The first reason we have the saints is to have these witnesses, these examples to us of what it looks like to live an authentically holy and Catholic life. The other reason that Catholics look to the saints is to pray for intercession. So we believe that the saints, if someone is a canonized saint, that means that they are in heaven with God, which means they are very close to God. And much in the same way that I would ask my friends to pray for me if I have an intention, we can ask the saints, like, hey, Saint Joan of Arc, you're in heaven with God, would really love your intercession for me. And this is where different devotions develop, because different saints are known for different things. And I'll talk about three saints in this podcast, who I have a devotion to and kind of explain why. For example, one of them who I'll talk about later as well is Saint Jude. And Saint Jude is known as the patron of impossible causes, because when he died, many people forgot about Saint Jude Thaddeus, because Judas Iscariot, the traitor, shared the same name. And so Saint Jude became known as this saint for desperate causes, because he was, you know, quote unquote, forgotten. People didn't remember Saint Jude. And now the devotion to Saint Jude Thaddeus is like spreads like wildfire. I mean, I went to go see, there was a relic of Saint Jude's arm went on tour around America, and I went to go see it in DC, and it was crazy to see how many people were there going to venerate this relic, this bone of Saint Jude, because he has had such an incredible impact on so many people's lives. And so different saints are known for different things. And depending on kind of what you're walking through, there are different saints who are patron saints for, you know, struggling with cancer or looking for work or a job. Like Saint Joseph is well known if you're, you know, struggling at work. And so what we have there is now these friends who are in heaven who can intercede for us. So that's kind of the idea of the saints, right? It's one, they are an example for us of living an authentically Catholic life and chasing after the Lord. And they're also a friend that we can have in heaven who can elevate our prayers to the Lord. That doesn't mean we don't go straight to Jesus, we don't go straight to God and pray for our intentions, but it's nice to have some other people in your corner. And I've seen that in my own life with these saints really showing up in moments that I needed them. Okay, so that's my kind of first overview of the saints. And now I want to share three saints with you who I love so, so much, and tell you just like the little stories of kind of how they became friends to me as saints, and also share just a little bit about who they are. And if any of these people, I'm going to link a bunch of stuff in the body or in the show notes for this episode, so that if any of these saints are calling to you, these are some great places to start. But the first saint I want to start with is a saint who is very controversial. You either love her or you don't get her at all. And I started by being someone who didn't get her at all for a long time until I finally did. And that is Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. Saint Thérèse lived in the late 1800s and in France. She was the youngest of five daughters, and all of her older sisters went to the convent. They all entered the convent, and Thérèse, from a very young age, knew she wanted to enter the convent. She loved Jesus. She wanted to spend her life with him as a nun. However, she did want to enter, but the superiors of the convent and her bishop, they all thought she was too young. So her father took her to Rome to go see Pope Leo XIII. And the plan was for her to ask him to enter the convent. And so she goes up, she kneels in front of him, and she goes, Father, like, please, please let me enter this convent. And he looked at her and he said, okay, if God wills it, like, he will allow it. But he didn't want to, you know, go over the superiors. So she returned home to Lisieux and was eventually allowed to enter the convent. So she entered the convent when she was 16 years old. And when she was 24 years old, she died from tuberculosis. So she was in the convent for about 8-9 years, about 15 to 24. And as she was dying, her sisters were gathered around her bed, and they were looking at her saying, what are we even going to say in her eulogy? Like, what do we have to say about this girl? We like don't really, you know, she's done nothing that special. She's pretty ordinary. And now she's dying at 24. But what they didn't know is that within this little girl, within this child, she had an incredibly immense understanding of the Lord and relationship with God. And in fact, she'd basically created or come into this entire spirituality with the Lord that was so profound and has now become well known across the world. And there are millions and millions of Catholics who have devotions to her. Basically, Saint Therese was looking at all these saints, and she was looking at all the other saints and seeing all the grand, incredible things they had done with their lives. And she knew that she just felt little, right? She just felt little. She was like, these saints are so brave and they have so much fortitude and courage and love. And I am just so small. And in her prayer with the Lord, she came to realize, like, Jesus does not inspire desires that he does not intend to fulfill within us. And her desire was to love Jesus. Her desire was to love him so much. And so at this time, the elevator had just kind of come into fashion. And she realized, she was like, I feel like a little child. I'm trying to climb these stairs and it's so much effort for me to get up one step. And I feel like I can barely get up one step at a time. But now we have this elevator. And so she began to think about it and was like, you know what? I think that Jesus wants to put me in this elevator and bring the elevator up to him. I don't think that it's going to be on my merits and my struggles and my fight and my efforts that I'm going to get to heaven with the Lord. I think he is going to bring me up to him because Jesus loves me so much. And this incredibly simple, incredibly beautiful spirituality is something that has completely changed my life as someone who often feels that pressure to, like, I have to prove that, like, I can do these things. I have to earn this. I have to chase after this. It's Therese and what has become known as her little way, right? The way of being little. Like, as a little child, Jesus can provide for me. He can carry me. He can love me. He can take care of me. And there's so much about this that, I mean, it sounds so simple and it is simple, but it's really against our kind of human, our natural tendencies to go for this, like, okay, this thing is simple, this thing is beautiful, but, you know, could it be too simple? Could this be something that's too simple for me? And I just love her so much and I love the spirituality. And thank goodness, one of the mother superior of the convent recognized that something was happening in Therese, recognized this journey that she was on and had her write her story before she died. And so that is the book Story of a Soul by Saint Therese, written as she was dying. And it chronicles everything from her childhood to that visit to the Pope, to her relationship with her siblings, to the death of her mother, all the way through her time in the convent. And what I love about her is that she is just so relatable. Like, there are so many stories in the book where she's talking about how she's not just like, she doesn't just think about this little way, but she's living this little way. For example, one day she's in prayer. The sister next to her will not stop tapping her pencil. It's driving Saint Therese crazy. And she just offers it up. And she says, Jesus, I offer this up. I like offer up the suffering of this pencil. And like, how many times do we get annoyed by things people are doing around us? Like, she just is such a model for that. She's also a great model for interruptions. She would be doing work in the convent. She only had so much time to do her work because they spent a lot of time in prayer. And she would pray before she started her work, Jesus, I give you permission to interrupt me. Like, if someone needs something, like, I allow them to interrupt me. And if they don't, I will consider this a great gift from you that I've not been interrupted and I can finish my work. And again, like, how many of us at work are just like, oh my gosh, I just need everyone to leave me alone so I can do these things. And she was able to do that, to just, again, be a model of living your faith actively, in such a little, beautiful and trusting way. And I just love her so, so much. Again, though, when I first tried to read Story of a Soul, I was probably 20, 21, and I could not get into it. I couldn't. I just couldn't. I read a couple pages. I was like, ugh, I don't know. I don't really feel this. This girl seems a little bit, you know, frustrating. I don't know if I can do it. And it wasn't until I was probably 24 or 25 that I picked the book up again and read it. And it changed my life. It changed so much of my spirituality. I went on to read this beautiful retreat called I Believe in Love by Father Jean d'Albi, which, again, all of this is linked below. And that's a 7-day retreat on the teachings of Saint Therese. in last October, Pope Francis released one of the most gorgeous pieces of writing I've seen ever from him. It's so beautiful, called C'est la Confiance, which is all about Saint Therese and her little way. And that takes like 20 minutes to read. So if there's a part of you that's kind of interested and you kind of like to know more, I would start there. Go read that. It's available online and I'll link it as well. Saint Therese is also known for her Saint Therese Novena. She promised that when she went to heaven, she would send down showers of roses upon the earth. And I've prayed that novena and have some crazy stories for how Saint Therese has interceded for me there as well. All this to say, I think what I've learned the most, well, one, I've learned about the little way from Saint Therese, and that has changed so much of the way that I live and pray and pursue the Lord. But also, what I learned with Saint Therese was that sometimes a saint is not, it's not the right time. Like sometimes it's just not the right time. And when I first encountered her, everyone was obsessed with her and I didn't get it. I just truly couldn't get it. I didn't understand. And it wasn't until I was in the right place to enter into a relationship with her that I could actually appreciate the incredible grandeur of who she was. And I know many people have had a very similar experience with Saint Therese. So if it is not your time yet and you have not encountered her, you haven't, you know, it hasn't pulled your heart, don't worry about it. Don't force it. If Saint Therese wants to, you know, if Saint Therese and you are meant to be friends, you will be friends. She will come and find you because she is a very persistent young lady and will come and get you. But that's the first saint I wanted to talk about is Saint Therese. The second saint I wanted to talk about is Saint Joan of Arc. And I think Saint Joan of Arc, for many of us, we always knew, right? She was a soldier, she lived in France, she led armies into battle, and then she was burned at the stake. And so I think that Saint Joan of Arc is kind of that archetype of a very different type of saint, right? So Saint Therese had a very quiet life that, you know, there was a very deep spirituality that has now blown up and created an incredible, you know, commitment and love of her. And then Saint Joan of Arc, on the other hand, was like very flashy, right? Like she was out there, she was doing God's will. God's will was for her to be leading armies of men into battle. And I'm just so inspired by Saint Joan of Arc and, you know, had grown up knowing a little bit about her, but it wasn't until I read Mark Twain's book, Joan of Arc, that I just completely was captivated by her. Mark Twain spent 12 years writing this book, and he was able to use the transcripts of the trial of Saint Joan of Arc, which talked all about her childhood and all of the battles she was in and the historical record, and was able to write this story of her. Some of it is fictionalized, like there's that dialogue and things in there, but all the characters are real and the story is real. And I swear, every single page of this book, I was gasping just because I was blown away by who Saint Joan of Arc was and how just like completely committed and joyful and constant she was to God's will in her life, and how much she loved the Lord and how much she wanted to do his will and how she listened and was obedient. How God worked in the life of this peasant girl who couldn't read, yet she was standing up for herself in these trials that were truly a witch hunt, trying to understand like who she was. And I think that, you know, today we are always like, I think there's such a desire in our culture for women of strength and courage. And I'm just like, where is my Joan of Arc movie? Like, where is my Joan of Arc movie? Like, if we took a moment and looked at this woman who truly lived and who led armies, I mean, one of the armies she was with, they would not stop drinking. They were drunk all the time. They were not showing up to battle well. And this 16-year-old girl walks into the camp and goes, "We're done drinking, boys. Put the drinks down." And they listened to her. Like, they listened to her. The King of France listened to her. I mean, this woman had such command because the Lord provided it. It's almost like, it reminds me of Esther, right? Like she was placed in this position for a reason and she was courageous enough to say yes to God. And I think about that sometimes when like I feel called to do something that's a little bit scary. I'm like, well, hey, I'm not Joan of Arc leading troops into battle. Like she didn't even have a sword. She wouldn't carry a sword because she was like, I don't want to kill anybody. I'm not carrying a sword. But she would lead these troops into battle and win these incredible fights that turned the tide for France. And then to reward her, right, they put her on trial, can't find anything really against her, make a bunch of stuff up, and then burn her at the stake. And so, I don't know, I think that Joan of Arc is also a really great model of a saint, right? Like Joan of Arc, Saint Therese, both women from France, both incredibly holy, and both called to do totally different things for the Lord, right? Like completely different journeys in their lives, beyond the fact that their greatest desire and their deepest longing was to do God's will and to love God and to let him love them. So I highly recommend Mark Twain's Joan of Arc if you want to learn more about her. The last saint I want to talk about is St. Jude. St. Jude, I was introduced to by a friend's mom, and she had gone to the St. Jude Shrine and brought me this St. Jude Rosary. And then when I lived in San Francisco, St. Dominic's in San Francisco has a St. Jude Shrine as well. And so I started to look to St. Jude. I was told, you know, he's the patron of impossible causes. And so when things started to get, you know, whenever I'd be in a situation that I felt like, I don't know where to go, God, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to love you, I don't know how to say yes to you, I would go to St. Jude. And St. Jude, I would pray the St. Jude Novena, and something incredible would always happen. Like if I needed a job, I would pray the St. Jude Novena and he would show up. If I needed direction in like personal situations, I would go to St. Jude and he would show up. And I just started to realize that, like, you know, there was such this, I just started to build a relationship with him. And it's so funny because St. Jude, like, I think there's different ways to be introduced to saints, right? Like sometimes you're introduced by friends. Sometimes you hear about it in a homily or a podcast. Sometimes, you know, you travel somewhere or you pick up a book, you know, saints have their own ways of like finding you. And that's something I also want to kind of mention here is that like, you don't have to go out and be like, I want to find the saint. Like maybe you can, I don't know, go for it. But oftentimes saints are going to find you at the right time in your life. And for me, St. Jude found me at the perfect time. Like at the time I needed to start kind of growing in friendship with the saints, he was the first saint that showed up and was everywhere. Like literally I would walk into a church and I would walk right into a St. Jude statue. And I had all these just like incredible experiences of like St. Jude loving me so well. And like, there's very little on his life. There's very little that we know about St. Jude. But we do know that he has made his intercession and his friendship so well known to so many people who have a devotion to him. And so if you're interested in a devotion to St. Jude, I will link the St. Jude Novena. There are also, you know, in many churches you can go and there's statues of St. Jude. But he's a hero. And I love him. And he was definitely my kind of entry point into like getting to know the saints. And again, he was a saint who definitely pursued me. And now, the one thing St. Jude asks is to be made known. And so I really put it upon myself to tell people about St. Jude. If they're struggling with something or going through something, I just think that he is such an incredible intercessor. And he has worked so many beautiful, beautiful things in my life, and shown up for me in times that I just really needed. I just really needed that prayer and that comfort and that confidence, and the consolation of knowing that, God was with me and he was sending other people, including St. Jude, to be with me too. Okay. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today. And I hope that like maybe one of those saints is calling to you, maybe something that, you know, one of the books I mentioned or writings I mentioned is calling to you. And if that's the case, amazing. But if not, I would just say like, take peace and like, don't worry about it. I think that if you go to the Lord and you say, Lord, like I'd actually really like to, you know, have a saint, you know, that I could learn from and, you know, pray for their intercession, like just ask the Lord and he will provide, like he will provide so fast. We don't have to like chase it, right? You know, it's St. Teresa's little way. We don't have to pursue it. We don't have to freak out. We don't have to like panic. Let the Lord bring you the friends that he wants for you, and let him provide and then say yes, right? Like do what you can to learn, right? I was like, I want to learn more about St. Joan of Arc. I don't know what to do. Oh, cool. Here's a book. Holy cow. This is one of the best books I've ever read. And so allow him to guide you and lead you. And then I hope that, you know, you are able to have these relationships with the saints because it is so encouraging as a Catholic in this world to be able to say like, I know that other people are going through this journey. And I know that other people are, you know, people have gone before me, right? Like the saints are a great cloud of witnesses. They've walked before us. They've shown us the way. They're in heaven with the Lord and they help us to know that we can do it too. Because I think that sometimes it can feel a little overwhelming to be like, am I going to get to heaven? Can I get to heaven? I feel so weak. I feel so small. Maybe it's just me, but it's really good to remember that there are people who've gone before us and that they can light the way for us as well. Okay. If you have any favorite saints, I would love to hear about it. Shoot me an email or comment on this podcast. I'd love, love, love to hear kind of which saints have shown up in your life. And if you have any other recommendations or books or novenas or things that you love, please send them to me as well. Okay. Thank you so much for listening. Happy, happy Easter. I will see you for the next episode, which will be the 100th episode. I cannot believe it. It's absolutely crazy. So please join us back for the next one. All right. I love you all. Get back to work. Bye. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of the Sunday Monday Show. If you liked it, if you enjoyed it, if you learned something, we would be so appreciative if you shared it with a friend. Shoot it in a text, post it on social media, whatever you want to do. Sharing these episodes helps more people find them. And while you're doing that, if you could rate and review these episodes, that would also be so appreciated. If you're looking for more, you can follow us on Instagram at thesundaymonday_ or visit us online at www.thesundaymonday.co, where we have tons of articles and free resources designed to help you be bold in your faith, work, and life. Until next time, thanks so much for being here. Get back to work. I love you all. Bye.